Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your great, glorious, and amazing grace. We thank you for how much you love each and every one of us. We thank you, God, that Jesus rose from the grave, destroying death, destroying sin, destroying the power that they had over us. Lord, we thank you for our Savior, and we just praise you that you have given us life in him. Thank you, God, for our time in your word. I pray that you would speak to us through it, that you would guide us, that you would lead us, Lord, that you would open our hearts to hear from you this morning. Lord, we pray that you would be glorified in all we do. In Jesus' name, amen. I feel like I might be a little loud. I just know I get louder. So I don't want to scare anybody. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we are doing a special message today. We finished the Lord's Prayer 2 weeks ago. Last week, our brother Roy preached, and if you missed that and would like to hear it, it is on our website. And so next week, we start the season of Advent, which I love. I'm a big Christmas person. I was already asking if we could put up our Christmas decorations. The committee on house decorating said no, not until after Thanksgiving. So Friday, the Christmas decorations will go up, because that will be after Thanksgiving. But next week, Sunday, we will start an entire month of sermons, all leading up to our Christmas Eve service, all about the birth of Jesus. And I'm very excited about it. We're going to have the Advent candles out and doing some readings and lighting those. If you want to sign up for that, we mentioned that, feel free to do so. I think we have 2 out of 5 spots open. Two out of five spots filled. So it's 3 out of 5 spots open. So feel free to do that. I'm excited about it. So it came to, what do I preach today? I needed something to preach today. And something that the Lord put on my heart was talk about the spiritual gifts. And I went, ooh, I love talking about the spiritual gifts. It's a lot of fun. And it will come with some very practical application at the end. So that's what we're going to do. So if you've made your way to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to pick up in verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts. Brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And we're not really going to talk about that today, but it is something important to keep in mind. You really can't say Jesus is Lord, at least not genuinely, unless you have God's Spirit in you. Verse 4, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discernment of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many members. And I love there in verse 13, because we're not really going to talk about that today either, that Jews, Greeks, slaves, free, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter the color of your skin. It doesn't matter if you have an accent. None of it matters. When we come to Christ, we are all one body. And it's a beautiful thing. It really is. So the spiritual gifts taught to us in Scripture, I think, and maybe you'll agree with me, maybe you won't. If you disagree with me, don't tell me while we're recording. Tell me later. I think they're often misunderstood and they're sometimes misapplied. There are those who say that the spiritual gifts ceased with the apostles. Has anybody ever heard that before? It's called cessationism. And I fervently disagree with it. And I'm going to tell you one big reason why I fervently disagree with it. One of the gifts of the Spirit that we're going to talk about today is the gift of being a pastor. There are a lot of pastors in the world. How can they be pastors when it is a spiritual gift given if the spiritual gift stopped? Here's the problem, is people don't understand or they misapply what the Bible teaches us about spiritual gifts. So it's just easier to try to get away from them than to learn what the Bible tells us and apply it appropriately. I believe the gifts are for today. I believe that every follower of Christ is given spiritual gifts for the purpose of each of us fulfilling our role in the church and in the world that God has called us and gifted us to fulfill. Amen. So with that being said, we're going to jump in. Okay, so we all have, number one, we all have spiritual gifts. Every member of the body of Christ has spiritual gifts. Every person on earth has the potential for spiritual gifts when he or she comes to know Christ as Savior. There are a couple of things we need to establish as we get started. And this all comes from what we just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. First, it is God who works in and through each of us. No gift is of our own making, nor can it be used in our own power. It's not about you going, all right, I'm going to muster it up, and I'm going to do really, really good, and then I'm going to become a prophet. Not how it works. We use the spiritual gifts in God's power. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 6. We are all given spiritual gifts for the profit of all. And not P-R-O-P-H, but P-R-O-F-I-T. The profit of all. That's what 1 Corinthians 12, 7 says. And this is the purpose, and we're going to talk about it later. But my spiritual gifts are not just for my edification, but for yours. Your spiritual gifts are not just for your edification, but for mine. It's for all of us. We all use our gifts in the body of Christ to benefit the whole body of Christ. Number three, it is the Spirit of God who gives these gifts to us according to His will. We don't choose our gifts. He chooses what gifts He wants to give us. 1 Corinthians 12, 11. When I was a young Christian and I was first learning about the spiritual gifts, I wanted to be an evangelist. I did. Oh, I wanted to be an evangelist. I would listen to Billy Graham or Greg Laurie or some of these, Luis Palau or some of the other guys that we used to listen to a lot when in California they were real popular. And they would hold a meeting at a stadium and 100,000 people would show up. And they would get up there and they would say, Jesus died on the cross for your sins and you need to repent and get saved. And 10, 15, 20,000 people would come down and they would get saved. And I'd be like, right there, that's what I want to do. God said no. Now, don't get me wrong. We are all to do the work of an evangelist. And there have been times throughout my ministry and my life where I've had the ability, by God's grace, to share the gospel with somebody and that person got saved. But it wasn't my gift. God called me to be a pastor teacher. And I love being able to do that. I really do. I love it. You guys have no idea how much I love it. You have no idea how thankful I am that I get to do it here. But I love it. I still always wanted to be an evangelist. Just saying. Think it'd be fun. But it's not up to us. He chooses our gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, 11 tells us that. One and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. And then we're not even going to get into 1 Corinthians 13 today, but everything we do is to be done in love. 12, 13, and 14, as it outlines these spiritual gifts, he says, I can speak with the tongues of men and angels, but if I don't have love, I'm nothing. Every spiritual gift is to be used in love. 1 Corinthians 16, 14 says, let all that you do be done with love. So I highly encourage you to read all of this. Take your time. Get into 12, 13, and 14 and some of the other passages I'm going to mention today. We are not going to cover all of these passages completely, and I don't want to feel unfaithful to the text, because we are going to focus on the spiritual gifts specifically. But I would really love for you to take the time, get into the Word, 12, 13, and 14, and like I said, a couple of the others I'm going to mention here in just a moment, and read them, study them, meditate on them, spend some time with them. It's good for you. So that leads us to, what are the gifts? What are the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Depending on where you look in the Bible, there are several lists of spiritual gifts. We have those listed here in 1 Corinthians 12 through 14. We have the gifts listed in Ephesians 4:11. We have a list in Romans 12, 6 through 8. And we have a couple more mentioned in 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11. There is some overlap, and so instead of studying each of these passages separately, which I recommend you do on your own, we're going to just look at the gifts listed in the Scripture. Okay? Now, the spiritual gifts are often broken up into categories. And I guess it depends on how you look at it. Some people really like categories. It makes things neat and easy. I'm not a big fan of it because we could run into danger of taking something away from Scripture, and I hate to do that. But for your knowledge, these are the categories that are often used. We have what are typically known as either the manifestation or the sign gifts. We have what are known as the ministry gifts or ministry offices. And then we have motivation or personality gifts. And this should all be in your notes. You should, I think you have it. And so some people really struggle with the manifestation gifts. And I hope as we talk about them, we'll alleviate some of that struggle if anybody here has that struggle. Most people agree on the ministry gifts. Whatever the sake is, or whatever the category, or however you want to organize these in your mind, the important thing is that we understand what the gifts are. It's important for us. So let's talk about the manifestation gifts, or the sign gifts. These are mostly listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to go through these kind of quickly. If you have a question or you want to talk about any of this after service, please do. Please come talk to me. I would love to chat with you about it a little more. But just for the sake of time, because we could spend a really long time on this, and I don't want to torture you too much. Just a little bit. So we have the word of wisdom. And the word of wisdom is God-directed wisdom for situations that comes from the Word of God, from the Holy Spirit. It is that you get this idea, you know what needs to be done. You are given this beautiful wisdom by God. Then we have a word of knowledge. Spiritual knowledge, again, through the Word or through the Holy Spirit, it's always going to be in line with the Word. I'll give you one, and this was terrible. We were counseling a young couple, and you already know the story I'm going to tell. We were sitting in my kitchen, and they weren't married yet. They were going to get married, and we were sitting there, and this guy was like, I don't even know the right word for it, but he was beating around the bush, and in the back of my mind, Holy Spirit said he cheated on her. Really? And so we confronted him. He admitted it. They broke up, which was probably a good thing because she married another guy a few years later who's wonderful. And they got a couple kids now that are real cute. But it was just like that. God told me something that, now that may have been discernment. We'll talk about that in a moment. But the word of knowledge, basically God tells you something that you really shouldn't know. The gift of faith. Supernatural belief. The kind that moves mountains. You ever meet that person that they go, oh, don't worry, God's going to take care of this, and you know they believe it? Because I'll say it all the time. Oh, I know God's going to take care of this, and then I go worry about it. But this is the person that goes, no, God has got this. It's done. Settled. I'm going to take a nap. That kind of peace. Supernatural faith. The gifts of healings. Used by God to restore people physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And some of these people have problems with, but I have seen God heal people. I've seen Him do it. I think I've told this story before. But we had a gentleman who was going in for bypass surgery. You guys heard me say this one? There's a few people who have. He's going in for bypass surgery, and you know the Bible says, if any of you are sick, call upon the elders of the church to pray. And so he said, can you pray for me? I'm going in tomorrow for bypass surgery. He said, okay, we'll sit down and we'll pray for you. And we're praying for you. And my prayer was, Lord, you know, let the surgery go well. Give the doctor wisdom. Give him, you know, let everything go good. And one of the other people said, no, Lord, heal him. No surgery necessary. In the back of my mind, I went, he can have surgery. It's okay. God will do it. We get a call the next afternoon. He goes, I went to the doctor. They checked the blockages. I didn't need surgery. And I was like, I had to repent. I said, Lord, forgive me for my lack of faith. That I didn't believe you could. Because he can. Gifts of healings. And then it's not always just physically. Remember the man who was lowered to Jesus through the roof? He said, son, your sins are forgiven you. And then the Pharisees got upset. Oh, how dare he forgive sins? And he goes, well, which is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven or get up and walk? Well, and he looks at the Pharisees. So you know that I have the authority to forgive sins. He looks at the guy and says, get up and walk. The guy got up and walked. Physical healing and spiritual healing. We talk about forgiveness and restoration of spiritual and emotional well-being. God can do that. The working of miracles. And this speaks of supernatural power. And there's a lot of things that can fall into this. But have you ever experienced God do something in your life that there was no other way it could happen if He didn't do it? I know I have. That's a miracle. Prophecy. Now this is the gift and not the office. And I'll make that distinction in just a moment. It is either to foretell or forthtell. Foretell, as in predicting the future, or forthtell God's message. When you go back to the Old Testament and you read the prophets, a lot of the prophets did foretell the future. And it's really fun to study Old Testament prophecy. And I do believe God can still give that gift to people today. A lot of times, the Old Testament prophets were simply delivering a message. Sometimes they would do both. Sometimes they would come and they'd say, if you don't repent, God's going to destroy the nation. Proclaiming repentance on the spot and what will happen in the future if they don't. But it can be both. Then the discerning of spirits. And this is a wonderful gift. Well, they're all wonderful, but I like this one because I have it. But discerning of spirits, the ability to discern between what is true or untrue. If something is from God, or some other ungodly source. And the discerning of spirits, and sometimes, I'll be honest, I don't know entirely how any of them work, but there have been times where something is put in front of me, whether it's a book or somebody shows me a video or whatever it is, and it's like that. It just strikes me. And it's not just that something's wrong with it. Then God brings the verses to mind of what the Bible says compared to what I'm listening to or reading, why it's wrong. And I'm very grateful for it. Because it has saved me a lot of trouble in my life. Then you get to tongues. This is the one where a lot of people really get bent out of shape. And if you have never heard someone speak in tongues before, it might freak you out a little bit the first time. It did me. I was a brand new Christian. People were speaking in tongues. I was like, huh? What's wrong with that? Then God thought it would be funny to give me that gift. I don't freak out about it anymore. What is the gift of tongues? Well, it's one of two things. It's either the ability to speak in a previously unknown language to you. You did not previously know it. We see this in Acts chapter 2. It could be a foreign language. In Acts chapter 2, the disciples were given this ability to speak in tongues, and all the people heard in their own language the wonderful works of God. But it can also be a supernatural prayer language. And that is the type of gift, when it comes to the gift of tongues, that I have. Then there's the ability to interpret tongues. And the ability to interpret tongues means when somebody else speaks in a tongue, you know what they're saying. And you can either share. Paul actually encourages us to pray to have both. When we get into 1 Corinthians 14, and again, I encourage you to read it because we're not going to read it all today. Tongues and prophecy are given very specific instructions, especially when it comes to being in public. In public, tongues are to be spoken in turn and only with interpretation by 2 to 3 people. Speaking in tongues in church without interpretation can become a distraction, and it's not necessarily encouraging to the body of Christ, and it doesn't necessarily lead non-believers to Jesus. This is explained in detail in 1 Corinthians 14. This is when a tongue is directed at the body, i.e. a sermon or message from God like we see in Acts chapter 2. And I'll give you a great example. The other day, last week as a matter of fact, we called my daughter up. And it was John's idea. He said, we need to lay hands on your daughter and pray for her. And when we called her up and we prayed for her and we prayed over her, as Lorna was praying, she started to pray in tongues. And what's beautiful is I also have the gift of interpretation of tongues, so I knew what she was saying. I didn't feel the need to share it with everybody else because it was a prayer. Now, we were at a church once, a long time ago, and the pastor's wife got up in the middle of the service and started screaming at the congregation in tongues. And then she walked off the stage. And everybody was like, we had no idea. I didn't get an interpretation. I had no idea what she said. That is causing chaos and disorder in the church. Something that I would say no to as a pastor. Like if in the middle of my sermon one of you jumped up and started yelling in tongues, I'd be like, uh-uh. That's not of God. Because, and I'm going to tell you why in just a moment. But tongues is a beautiful gift. Don't be afraid of it. When we use it the way the Bible tells us to use it, it's awesome. Just like all the others. Now, prophecy is, again, one person at a time, everyone in turn, but everyone gets to prophesy if the Lord has given them that gift or the ability to exercise that gift. And when you get into 1 Corinthians 14, you'll notice that prophecy convicts non-believers of their sin and they come to know Jesus as their Savior. And that's not necessarily predictive prophecy. It might be proclamation prophecy. When you get up and you say, this is what the Bible says, it's technically prophecy because you're delivering God's message. It might be predictive. You might look at somebody and go, hey, if you don't change your lifestyle, God has told me you're going to die. I had a doctor do that to me once. It wasn't so much prophecy as much as it was science because he looked at all my numbers and he looked at me and he said, you're going to die. Really? He did. And he was right. It was bad. My arteries were 70% clogged, pre-diabetic, pre-cirrhosis of the liver. I was on my way out. And he actually looked at me and said, I can't believe you haven't had a heart attack or a stroke yet. So I lost 200 pounds. I exercise now. Praise God. It's a bit different, but whether or not that doctor had the gift of prophecy, God used it, like the gift of prophecy, because I would have died. I'm glad that tickled Lorna so much. 1 Corinthians 14, 32 through 33 says this, that the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. At no time is the genuine use of the spiritual gifts going to cause chaos or confusion in the church. That's what it boils down to. And where a lot of people get really turned off by the spiritual gifts is that they have witnessed their abuse in church, not their use. Their abuse. That's what happened to my wife and I when we were first Christians. We got really turned off. I, for years, refused to use the spiritual gift of tongues, even in private, because I had become so turned off by the church we were at. God corrected me over time, and I'm very grateful for it. But we do everything in the church for the building up of the church. 2 Corinthians 14:26 tells us that. Everything in the church for building up the church. Causing confusion and chaos isn't going to build up the church. It's going to tear it down. So, fully believe in the spiritual gifts. We're going to use them the way the Bible tells us to here. Now, we move on to the ministry gifts. Sometimes these are called the ministry offices. You may have heard the term the fivefold gifts. Anybody ever heard the term fivefold before? Because apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, there's five of them. So they call them the fivefold spiritual gifts of, or ministry gifts. Now, an apostle is one who is sent. That's literally what the word means. In our day and age, we would typically see an apostle as one, maybe a church planter would be fulfilling the office of an apostle. Or even a missionary may be filling the office of an apostle as they are sent to another country to spread the gospel. Now, the 12 apostles were just a little bit special. They received scripture and wrote it down for us. Apostles today, there is no more scripture. We can receive a revelation from God, we can receive a word of knowledge or a prophecy, but there is no more scripture. If anybody ever comes to you and says, God has given me a message, and it either replaces or adds to this, that person is a liar, toss them out, that's not of God. There's only one word. Not just this one, you have one too. Right? But there are still apostles, there are still people who are sent. Then you have prophets, and this speaks of the office of prophet. And just like the gift, this is a person who can either foretell or forthtell God's word. You have an evangelist. What do evangelists do? They preach the gospel to non-believers. And what do the non-believers do? They get saved. When you're an evangelist, that comes very naturally for you. You have a pastor, shepherds the believers and oversees the church. And then you have a teacher, a person who instructs in the word. I am a pastor teacher. I know it. And I did, man, I wanted to be an evangelist. I shouldn't be bitter about that. It was a long time ago. I really wanted to be an evangelist. And we're all supposed to share the gospel. We are. Every person. And I've met people that have the gift of evangelism. They walk up to a person in Walmart and say, you know what? You need Jesus as Savior. And that person will go, you know what? You're right. I'm like, how? That's so unfair. I have people I've been witnessing to for 20 years who haven't gotten saved yet. Yet. Because God is good. But then I've had people come to me and they say, man, I wish I could explain the Bible the way you do. I'm like, well, am I good at it? And they'll tell me. And what I've noticed over the years is God is so good. And He lets me explain the Bible to people. And it's a lot of fun. It really is. I enjoy it. But they're all different. All necessary. All necessary. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Then we have the motivational gifts. Or the personality gifts. And some of these are a little, everybody, oh, pastor, teacher, right? That's kind of shiny. Or evangelist, that's kind of, you know, everybody knows who you are. Or maybe you're a prophet, or you've been able to pray for people and give healing, and they're like, that's very cool. What's your spiritual gift? I clean toilets. Service is the first one on the next list. You just love to serve other people. Have you ever met people like that? They just love to serve other people. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter if it's glorious or tedious. It doesn't matter if it's fancy. They just love to serve other people. What about the gift of encouragement? I love being around people who have the gift of encouragement. Guess why? They're encouraging. You didn't see that coming, did you? What about somebody who has the gift of giving? You ever meet that person? They're just generous. Oh, you need something? I'll take care of it. Oh, the church needs something? I'll take care of it. You ever met that person? It's a wonderful gift. The gift of administration. This person just loves to organize. I've met people like that. They just have the gift of being organized. The Bible calls it administration. We need them. Do you know why our church needs those people? It's not me. What about the gift of mercy? The person who just loves to be merciful to others. Loves to show compassion, kindness, love, care for someone else. Or the gift of helps. Their job is to help others so they can minister. You want to know? I know somebody who has this gift. Married her. Anybody here is ever thankful for anything I've ever done? Could not do it without her. Ever. Certainly couldn't do it without God and His Holy Spirit working within both of us. But I could not be me without her. So, if you don't like me, it's her fault. And if you do like me, she gets credit. But the gift of helps. Hospitality. I love people who have the gift of hospitality because they feed us. They just tend to feed us. You ever meet that person? You know, I come to potluck with one dish, they come with four. You meet them and they go, here, have cookies. Cookies? Cookies is a spiritual gift. And then the gift of leadership, to direct the body with care and attention. Now, what you're going to notice is you look through all of these gifts, you're going to see overlap. Oftentimes, you're going to see like administration and leadership working in the same person. Or you're going to see, for example, like me, pastor. Look at all those words just falling out in no particular order. Being a pastor and a teacher at the same time. Other gifts like service and help can work together. Prophecy, encouragement, teaching, pastoring will all sometimes work in tandem. Words of wisdom and words of knowledge and discernment may all work together. You will see this happening. Sometimes you will see it in one person. Sometimes you will see it in the church. And if you've ever seen it, it's cool. If you've ever been in a room with other people, and all of a sudden you get a word of knowledge and you share it, and then somebody else gets discernment about the situation, and they share their discernment, and then someone gets wisdom about how you deal with it, and then someone gets encouragement and says, all right, we're going to take care of this. Come be a fly on a wall at one of our elders' meetings. It's happened. It's cool. It's fun to watch. It's fun to be a part of. Then a question that I've been asked on several occasions, what about the gifts that aren't listed in the Bible? Right? We went through this whole list. Did anybody see the gift of music? Now, you might make an argument that, well, music is encouraging, so maybe that falls under the gift of encouragement. Maybe it doesn't. What about being a mechanic? We have several mechanics in here. Did anybody read in any of those passages the gift of the Holy Spirit of fixing stuff? Well, maybe that falls under the gift of helps. Maybe not. But I think all of those things can be spiritual gifts when we use them for Him. It doesn't matter what your gift is. You know, some people are gifted with math, so they're good with numbers, so they do the books for the church. I guess that's the gift of administration, but still, it doesn't matter what you're good at. God has given you a gift to be used by the empowering of the Holy Spirit, for the building up of the body of Christ, for reaching the lost, whatever it might be. And so that leads us to the purpose of the spiritual gifts. So we've looked at the spiritual gifts listed in Scripture. 1 Corinthians 12:7 tells us that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So ultimately, the purpose of the gifts of the Spirit is the profit of the church, and then to reach non-believers for Christ. Ephesians 4:11 through 16 explains it wonderfully. This is speaking specifically of the ministry gifts, but if you have your Bible and you want to join me there in Ephesians chapter 4, after 1 Corinthians you get 2 Corinthians, and then go eat popcorn. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Go eat popcorn. Or Gentiles eat pork chops. That's a fun way to memorize it too. Y'all looking at me funny. Ephesians 4:11. And He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up or become mature in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. These spiritual gifts are so that we can become mature, so that we can become unified, so that we can build each other up in love. And when we do that, people will come, as verse 13 says, to the knowledge of the Son of God. That's how it works. People ask me, or people have asked me, well, how do you grow a church, or what's the best thing to do about growing a church? Or, you know, and there's all these programs out there in the world. You know, oh, I remember one. It was my in-law's church when we were in California. And this was way back in 2003. And the reason I remember that is because their goal was to have 303 people in church by the end of 2003. Like, if it rhymed, it would work. And so they had the program after program after program. And they spent thousands and thousands of dollars on it. And the church didn't grow. Do you want to know how a church grows? Elders have heard me say this so many times, they're probably tired of me. You guys tired of me yet? Prayer and fasting, absolutely. Healthy sheep reproduce. It's that simple. For people who are ranchers, and they know this a lot better than I do, if you have healthy animals on your ranch, what are they going to do? They're going to make more healthy animals. If we are healthy as a body of Christ, we will grow. First, we'll grow spiritually. And then over time, we'll grow physically. That simple. And how do we get healthy? Is it by all of you listening to me and everything I say all the time? Can't be. Can't just be me. We do this together. It's awesome. So what is your role? This is where the rubber meets the road. We know what the gifts are. We know what their purpose is. And we know that the Holy Spirit gives every member of the body of Christ a spiritual gift or gifts for the building up of the body of Christ so that the church can edify itself in love, so we can reach the lost with the gospel. So this leaves the question, what about you? What do we do with this? There's two things. First, discover your spiritual gifts. If you don't know what they are yet, that's okay. But this is the first and most important thing that you can do after gaining an understanding of what the gifts are. Now, if you search Google for spiritual gifts, you'll come across the spiritual gifts test. And if you're bored and you want to be entertained, go for it. I don't put a lot of stock in them because sometimes they're silly. And that's not what the Bible says. Right? The Bible does not say, and the Holy Spirit will distribute a spiritual gift to all of you and will reveal it to you through Google. Not going to find that in here. If your Bible says that, don't read that Bible anymore. Get a new one. How do we discover? Get into the Word. Read through these spiritual gifts. Pray. Fast. Ask God to reveal your spiritual gift to you. Get input from other people. See where your talents and your passions overlap with the spiritual gifts. This is most likely where you're going to discover your spiritual gifts. So I'll tell you how it happened to me. I felt like God wanted me to preach. And I went to my pastor and I said, I kind of feel like God wants me to preach. And he said, great, let's find out. You know what he made me do? Preach. After I was done, he walked up to me and he said, you have that gift. Now, 20-some years ago, and I spent a long time, by God's grace, developing it. I fear sermons I preached 20 years ago. And so I had to grow into that gift. But sometimes you'll meet somebody, well, what do you think my spiritual gift is? And if that person knows you, they may be able to tell you. What are you passionate about? How can you use that passion to love and serve other people? That's probably your gift. Once you discover your spiritual gift, use it. See that coming? Pretty fancy, right? Man, he spent a lot of time on these two points. Find out what you're good at and do it. Once you know what your spiritual gifts are, it's time to use them so you can be a productive part of the body of Christ. No one else can use your gifts for you or make your contribution to the body of Christ. Only you can do that, and God has enabled you to do that. Romans 12, 3 through 8 says, I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy. If in proportion to our faith, or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortations, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11, but the end of all things is at hand. Praise God. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which with God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Use your gift. As we close, I'm going to bring this up, that I hope I haven't confused you but brought some level of clarity to the issue of spiritual gifts. If for some reason I have confused you, please come and talk to me and I will try to fix it. But I encourage you to discover and to use your spiritual gifts. We all have gifts given to us by God to build up the body, to love, or to reach out to the lost. And I don't necessarily know what your spiritual gifts are. I know what mine are. And I will tell you, in all honesty, that I am humbled and overwhelmed that God chose me to have and use the gifts that He's given to me. I really am. I really feel like there are other people who are better at this than me. But He wants me to do it, and I don't know why. But I'm so grateful for it. Whatever your gifts are, and I want you to hear this, and I think it's up there. Whatever your gifts are, we as a church are incomplete if you are not using them here. We as a church are incomplete if you're not using your gift here. And I don't want you to go home and feel guilty or go home and feel shame or anything of that sort and go, well, I don't know what my gift is or I haven't had an opportunity to use it yet. That's not what this is about. If you don't know what your gift is, work on it. We'll pray together. We'll get into the Word together. Discover that gift. And once you do, if you go, but this is my gift and we don't have this ministry, you know, I dare you to say that to me. You want to know what I'll tell you? Great. Let's do it. Every time. But we as a church are incomplete if every person here isn't using their gift. So if some of you notice, my finger's real shiny. My cat sliced open the side of my finger on Friday into Saturday morning, like 4 o'clock in the morning. I wake up with blood dripping down my hand. It was really a great way to wake up. And my wife's like, what's wrong? I'm bleeding. And I was very tired. And I led worship last night at a church. I knew I was leading worship today because I didn't know if John was going to be back or not. And here he is. Last night, it still hurt so bad I couldn't use it, so I had to lead worship with these 3 fingers. And if you've ever played guitar, you know that if you're used to having 4 fingers and you only get 3, some chords become really difficult to play. And my wife can attest to the fact that I messed up probably a third of the chords I played last night. The people there were real nice. Oh, you did such a good job. I'm like, no, I did not. I did the best I could with what I had. But 200 and some pounds of man, right, and about an ounce and a half was a big problem. I want you to think about that. I have a point, I promise. This, right? Would I die if I couldn't use this finger? Would my life cease then? Would I cease to be useful for God? No. But this one stupid little thing, not working properly, affects everything else. Anybody ever kick their pinky toe on something without shoes on? Right? What good is your pinky toe? You know, if your pinky toe got chopped off, you'd be fine. But all of a sudden, half an ounce of your body affects all other however many pounds you are. Because that one little bit's not working properly anymore. Right? We are the same. We are the same. You may think, yeah, but what I do isn't important. I don't preach on Sunday mornings. Well, get into 1 Corinthians, because you know what it says? That the parts of the body that we think have the less honor actually have more. That's what it says, not me. What the Bible says. Don't think because you don't do what I do that what you do doesn't matter. Because I guarantee what you do matters, and I could never do what I do if you don't do what you're supposed to do. That's how this works. We are incomplete without you. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Thank you, God, that you have given us a diversity of gifts in the body, a diversity of people, a diversity of minds, and a diversity of creativity. Different ways to love and serve and bless one another. And I thank you, God, that it's you who does it. It's not us. It has to be you. And I thank you for each person who's sitting here today and for what you have gifted them to do and for the part that you have for them to play in our church. And I pray that we would, Lord. I pray that you would encourage each heart that's here. If anybody here, Lord, doesn't know what their spiritual gift is, I pray that you would reveal that to them. Help them to discover what that is. And for those of us who do, help us to use our gifts, the gifts that you've given us, the gifts that we are empowered to use by you, to build up our body in love, to reach the lost with the love of Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, for your goodness, for your grace, for your mercy and your kindness. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you sent your only Son to die on the cross for our sins. Thank you that he rose from the grave on the third day. And thank you that anyone who believes in him will never perish but have everlasting life. And Lord, as much as I wanted to be an evangelist, I'm grateful that you give me the opportunity to share your word. And I do pray, Lord, if there's anybody here or anybody who's with us online who needs to know Christ as Savior, that today would be a great day to do that. And so, Lord, I just pray for your hand to be upon each of us. Bless us as we move into this week of Thanksgiving. We have a lot to be thankful for because we have you. In Jesus' name.